Are you ready to join the AWOD Army? Tune in to the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM every day from noon to 3 on AWOD Radio.
What's going on? How are you doing today? I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, and I am broadcasting live from the Diamond ahead of tonight's playoff matchup with the Richmond Flying Squirrels against Erie. And Adam Cheek, my producer today, back in the studio. Man, it is very cool being out here at the ballpark today. It is awesome.
I can't wait. I'm so excited to get out there a little bit later on.
Yep, got my media pass as well. Looking forward to watching the game tonight. It was really hot earlier and sunny. It's a little cloudy here now, but I've got a nice little tent set up in Rosie's, the Hit It Big little section over here where you can get some drinks, you can get some food. I'm sure the players will be taking the field in just a couple hours here. I'll be joined by Blaine McCormick and Trey Wilson, as well as Parney, the CEO of the Richmond Flying Squirrels, on the show today. First pitch at 6:35. I'm Adam Epstein. This is AWOD Radio, and I want to let everybody know as we're getting ready for this Squirrels playoff matchup tonight. So we have Keaton Wynn on the mound. He's pretty new to the Squirrels, but he's had some really good starts. And I was talking with Trey and Blaine a little earlier this morning. He's going to be fun to watch because, Cheek, he throws nearly 100 miles an hour. He's a big country guy from Iowa. So look forward to him having a bunch of Ks on the mound tonight. The Seawolves, who the Squirrels play against tonight, historically do not play well when here in Richmond, Virginia at the Diamond. They've lost about 70% of all their games here in this stadium. That's unbelievable. Usually in baseball, it's like, you know, 55% or 45% on the road. 70% of the times they've played here at the Diamond, they've lost. You got to love our home field advantage. Yeah. Fans, we need you guys here tonight. Go nuts and rooting for the Flying Squirrels. If they win tonight, we'll be back here tomorrow for another playoff matchup. Same thing against the Seawolves. It's likely going to be the largest playoff crowd in the history of the franchise here in Richmond, but you can still get your tickets right now at squirrelsbaseball.com/tickets. There are a bunch of general admission tickets still available. For Erie on the mound will be Ty Madden, and Cheek, you'll remember last week the Squirrels hit 3 home runs off of him. So you got to feel like, hey, the Squirrels, if they can get up to the plate early and knock the crap out of the ball, that's going to give them an advantage today. So they played Erie 7 games in a row, 6 games last week, 3-3, plus Tuesday night where we lost. So the Squirrels, they won the finale on Sunday and now hopefully get a win tonight. Erie had to wait till Sunday night to even know if they were going to make it to the playoffs over Bowie, who lost in Akron on Sunday. So the Squirrels lose game 1 on Tuesday, but we are in action tonight. 6:35 is the first pitch. I'm Adam Epstein. This is AWOD Radio, broadcasting live from the Diamond. Cheek, we like to get the show started every day with the sports app.
Here it is, everybody.
Clearly, this is the future.
Stats, scores, highlights.
Whoa, are you serious?
Wi-Fi plus 3G, 64K. This one.
The sports app.
All right, we got to start in the NBA, and specifically in Boston. Celtics head coach Ime Udoka facing a season-long suspension for improper relationship with a female staffer, per reports. So Ime Udoka is married to Nia Long, the American actress that has received several accolades, including 3 NAACP Image Awards and a Black Reel Award. But now he's going to be suspended for the entire season. There's a lot of rumors going around right now that people trying to figure out who it was, because I guess there's only one or maybe 2 females on the coaching staff for the Celtics. I mean, this situation is just so wild. It's so bizarre that it's happened, especially after the success, Cheek, the success that Boston had last year, right?
Yeah.
Making it all the way to the NBA Finals. And then you had all the rumors this offseason where they're going to trade Jaylen Brown and try to bring in Kevin Durant. Well, now they'll be without their head coach for the entire season because Udoka had, quote, improper, intimate, and consensual relationships with a female staff member. Stephen A. Smith on ESPN, I don't even know. He was just talking and words were fumbling out of his mouth. But I want to play it for you guys because I thought it was entertaining this morning on ESPN. Here's Stephen A. Smith.
Is that being done to a brother? Because I got news for you, America. There's plenty of white folks in professional sports that's doing their thing. And I say that not complimentary. I don't see the information out about them. Why are we talking about this now? We got to talk about it because it's the news. Ain't none of our damn business unless you fire him. But if you keep him, it's none of our business. It should have never been. It should have never been put out there.
Of course it's your business, Stephen A. He was suspended for a year.
Because you absolutely did it. Because news reporters got it. So it emanated out of Boston. Somebody ain't in L.A. or Utah or something leaking this stuff about the Boston Celtics.
Right.
This is on y'all. You shouldn't have been out here. That's what I have to say.
Stephen A., I appreciate what you had to say. Continuing here in the NBA on the sports app, it's just a bad week for the NBA. So Robert Sarver announces his plan to sell the NBA's Phoenix Suns and the WNBA's Mercury amid the controversy that had him suspended for 1 year and fined $10 million. He said, quote, I am beginning the process of seeking buyers for the Suns and Mercury. Adam Silver said this is the right next step for the organization and the community. This whole situation came down because there was a whole 43-page report done by an independent law firm after a 10-month investigation that found that he was racist, he was sexual harassing women, and he was using the N-word. I mean, he's just a terrible person, and thank goodness he's not going to be involved in the NBA any longer. The Detroit Pistons, under 30-year general manager Troy Weaver, just keep making moves. So it has been announced that the team is trading for Utah Jazz forward Bojan Bogdanovic in exchange for center Kelly Olynyk and a third-year guard Saben Lee. This was just confirmed Thursday morning. Let's go over to the MLB. All right, so, Cheek, we're doing a home run watch here with Aaron Judge, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Where do you put him on the list? Are you one of those guys that say Bonds will always be number one?
No.
Because I watched him because – honestly, that's kind of how I feel because even though it was steroids and I know he was cheating, the Bonds, McGuire, Sosa, look, that was 98 and 01 and 99. That was like in the middle of my childhood. I was probably 10 years old, 9 or 10 years old back then. And although I didn't love baseball, it was much-watched baseball for those about 3 years, especially when, you know, in 2001 when Barry Bonds hit 73 because it just felt like every single at-bat he was going to get a home run. But I understand, you know, there's the baseball purist that – don't count him at all. And so they say, hey, Aaron Judge is tied for second, right behind Roger Maris and tied with Babe Ruth. What do you say about this, Cheek?
Well, I see where you're coming from with that. And, you know, it's the one you remember. I was too little, I think, and I wasn't paying attention to baseball. And what did he do that in 2001, 2002, whatever? So,
yeah.
And I love baseball history. So the Maris one is the one that I consider the record. But this has been incredible to watch. And they've got, what, 12 games left, I think? So I think he might hit, like, 65 at this point.
Wow. I would like to see him hit at least 62. But have you seen the movie 61?
I have. Great movie.
It's so good, man. It's one of the best.
Barry Pepper, Thomas Jane. It's great. Love it.
Yeah, it is really good. So we'll see. We're keeping an eye on Aaron Judge, who has 60 home runs on the season right now. Let's go over to college football. All right, let's go through some of the best matchups of the weekend, and it starts tonight in Blacksburg for the Black Diamond rivalry. West Virginia travels to Virginia Tech, but the coolest news of the week was Mike Vick back in Blacksburg. How about that? Number 7 hanging out in Blacksburg. I know Lurch of the Sports Junkies said that his daughter, who I believe is at Tech, maybe a sophomore, was walking around campus. She bumped into Tech, and he also made some time to talk with Coach Pry and some of the student-athletes for Virginia Tech. I want to play some of the audio. It is pretty inspirational. Mike Vick back at Virginia Tech ahead of their matchup tonight with West Virginia.
I'm excited, man. The energy is different here. It's great to come here.
have a chance to speak to coach, talk about some of the things that y'all are going to do in the future, what you're going to try to get accomplished, and how y'all going to make this program a success. It's all right there in front of you. But it's going to start with you guys. It's going to start with this group. It's all got to work in one unison, and it got to be a collective effort. Put in that extra work. A couple hours here and there. Get ready for this game tomorrow. It's a big one. I'm excited to watch it, and I'm glad I'm here. And I know y'all going to do some great things in the future, man. So like I said, I won't keep y'all too long. I'm just excited to be in this position to stand before you and speak.
It's awesome Thanks, to Coach. Have you here. We got a ton of respect.
Thank you, Coach.
And let's get a break on Mike Vick.
All right, baby. Y'all know football ain't easy. Make the hard work pay off. Hard work on three. One, two, three.
Hard work.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate it.
I'm in. All right, baby. Good luck tomorrow. Yes, sir. Great to work, baby.
Yes, sir.
Come we might just have to prep. Isolate the ending of that again. Hard work on three. I mean, that just got me pumped up. West Virginia at Tech tonight. Friday, UVA at Syracuse. Saturday, first big test for Maryland's head coach Mike Locksley as they face off against Michigan in Ann Arbor, spread Michigan -17. In the ACC, a big test for number 5 Clemson as they travel to face number 21 Wake Forest. The game of the week, in my opinion, is Saturday, CBS 3:30's SEC rivalry matchup, Florida at Tennessee. That's a matchup of two young, good quarterbacks in college football with Anthony Richardson of Florida and Hendon Hooker of Tennessee. I've got Tennessee all over them in that matchup. I just think they're a better overall football program this season. Number 22, Texas at Texas Tech. 7 p.m. on ESPN. I'll be watching number 10, Arkansas, facing off at number 23, Texas A&M. The Aggies picked to win, but I'm going with Arkansas in that one. If you want to gamble on FanDuel, you can type in the promo code AWOD to get some of their promotional offers right now. And then the night matchup, number 13, Utah at Arizona State following the firing of head coach Herm Edwards. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new sports radio, 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new sports radio 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM, and I am broadcasting from the Diamond ahead of the 2022 playoff matchup here at the Diamond tonight with the Flying Squirrels taking on the Seawolves. I'm Adam Epstein. You can get in touch with me throughout the show by calling in 833-804-0910. Phone lines are open, 833-804-0910. Give me a call right now if you're coming out to the Diamond for the game tonight. Still to come on the show today, Matthew Paris, who covers the Commanders for the Washington Times, will join me at 1:15. And we'll also do the Callan Gates Hokies update with Bill Roth at 1:30 on the show today. But joining me right now in the Hadid Mercer rug cleaning hot seat is one of the voices of the Flying Squirrels. That's Blaine McCormick. What up, Blaine?
How you doing, Adam?
I'm doing great, man. Playoff baseball, baby.
Oh, there's nothing like it. I love the whole day of playoff baseball because you feel it in your chest the whole time. The whole time you're going to the ballpark, you sit down for just a moment, and you see how much thrill this game will be.
Absolutely, man. It's just, it feels so good to be here.
Yeah.
This early in the morning. I mean, seeing the field crew out here setting everything up. Mm-hmm. It just, you know, like it has a playoff feel in it about the air right now. It's very cool. But anyway, I wanted to bring up here, because we always do a non-sports topic here at 12:15. How old are you?
I'm 26.
So you're 20. So you're above the cutoff age we were talking about. Anybody below 22 years old right now is just an idiot. They just are, these Gen Zers out here. And the reason I bring this up today, all right, Cheek, and I know you're close to that cutoff age here, but the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, has issued a warning. Don't cook your chicken in NyQuil. And you'd think, why would they have to put out that warning? Well, the reason they have to do that is because a bunch of TikTokers have gone viral for making these things they're calling sleepy chicken. It's the latest craze among TikTokers. It made national news headlines. I've watched the videos. as they're cooking this, I mean, they're legit baking chicken, Blaine. It's unbelievable. Pouring NyQuil over it, and they're trying to get, like, this special blue flavoring to it. It's the weirdest thing ever.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah, no, I don't either. Mm-mm. I mean, do you feel me, man? Just what are these Gen Zers doing?
That's why I'm not on TikTok.
Exactly.
For this exact reason.
Exactly.
See, I was cooking up food last night, and not for one second did I ever think, let me go into my pantry and grab some NyQuil or some DayQuil or any, like, medicine. Why would you ever mix medicine with food? It makes absolutely no sense to me. Sleepy chicken. Cheek, tell me you've never thought about doing anything like that.
I have not. Chicken already has tryptophan. It already makes you sleepy. And also, I would like to not die. This is like when they had to issue the thing, like, what, 4 or 5 years ago, where it's like, hey, everyone, don't eat Tide Pods. They shouldn't have to say that.
Right, yeah. No, I remember. They took a bunch of shots at millennials for the Tide Pods. They need to realize it was a couple years below us. That's what I think. But yeah, no, so what does chicken have in it that already makes you sleepy?
Tryptophan.
Because I feel that. Every time I eat fried chicken or something, I fall asleep on my couch immediately. So why the hell do you need the NyQuil?
Tryptophan's in turkey.
So it might not be in chicken.
But I'm sure it's the same deal.
Right. I mean, Similar. Believe me, anytime I eat a bunch of meat, first off, I start sweating, right? You get the meat sweats, and next thing you know, you fell asleep on your couch in the middle of Survivor last night.
It's in chicken. It's in chicken, too. Yeah. So, point stands.
All right. Anyway, we got Blaine McCormick here joining us in the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning hot seat. Talk about your experience from Tuesday calling your first playoff game.
It was amazing, man. It was such a fun time to go up to Erie, Pennsylvania. They had a great crowd on hand, too, for the Seawolves game, just like we're going to have here tonight at the Diamond. And, you know, you feel different during those playoff games. And I mean different in a good way, because there's so much adrenaline. There's so much anticipation for what's going to happen next. And when Brandon Martirano hit that home run in the second inning, I got goosebumps. Mm. Because, first of all, Martirano has been a fantastic player this season and from last season as well. He's been a leader in the clubhouse, a leader behind the plate. And it felt great to see him at the plate hit a home run and get that first run for the Flying Squirrels. And I'm happy to, you know, I'm excited to see what he brings tonight and what the whole entire Flying Squirrels squad brings tonight as well.
Let's play the audio of that key at bat.
3-2 pitch, and a fly ball sent to center field. Backs up Parker Meadows, still tracking it back to the wall. That is gone! In dead center field, Brandon Martirano leaves the yard, and Richmond's got a 1-0 lead.
So you get to talk to with the players all the time. Do you think that they feel the crowd in a game like tonight, a playoff game where the Diamond's going to be sold out and everyone's going to be all over the place going nuts?
One thing that I've talked about with these players before is how cool the crowd is, and they know that. Throughout the season, that's something that they comment on every interview, every time we talk together, just even, you know, off the air, just calling each other and seeing, like, what, you know, what they enjoy here at the Diamond. And they all the time talk about the crowd. And it could be on a Wednesday night when we have 4,000 or 5,000 people here. With a crowd like tonight, it is going to be special. And I think they know that ahead of time because they've seen the big crowds on opening night where it was 9,810, that same number on July 4th. Every time that those games are brought up, they mention how cool the crowd was, and I can't wait for tonight.
Absolutely, and the Seawolves have struggled historically when they come to the Diamond, lost 70% of those matchups, so it's like they're feeling the crowd pressure too. Something that I'm kind of wondering, with a matchup like tonight and the Flying Squirrels here, and they need to win, do you think the players are feeling like, hey, we've got to get on the board in the first couple innings and really get rid of some of those nerves?
I think that's important for this team because they did that early on Tuesday night against the Seawolves. They had that leadoff home run by Brandon Martirano to give them a 1-0 lead. And, you know, I think that's something that, you know, they might have in the back of their mind. But Dennis Pelfrey does a great job with these players keeping them calm and keeping them in the game and making sure that these guys, you know what they need to bring to the table. And that's exactly what they're going to do tonight.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think anybody was on the roster in 2014. So it's going to be a playoff first for all the guys. And so you'd have to think maybe they had some nerves on Tuesday, but now they're coming back home. The excitement from the crowd, they've got to feel confident tonight.
And that's something as well with this roster. They have playoff experience in the past with their, you know, previous teams. Take the Eugene Emeralds, for example, last season when they won the Northwest League. Tyler Fitzgerald was on that squad. Dennis Pelfrey was the manager. You have players like Ricardo Genovese that was on that squad. Brett Auerbach, who was on that team as well. So these guys have some playoff experience. They know what these kind of games mean to them. And I think that's kind of an advantage for them, too. And mentioning about the crowd once again, Adam, that's going to be a secret weapon for the Flying Squirrels because these fans are the best in minor league baseball. led all of AA in attendance and overall and average, and they are going to bring it tonight, and I can't wait to see it. Go RVA. Go, everybody.
Yeah, let's fill the stadium up. Let's fill it up. Cheek, you got to be here. Tell your dad. Tell your mom. Everybody's got to come, and you can still get your tickets. Tickets are available still at squirrelsbaseball.com. Tell me about who we got on the mound tonight for the Flying Squirrels.
It is Keaton Wynn, a right-handed pitcher from Ollie, Iowa. Have you heard of Ollie?
I have not.
It's under 200 people, according to Wynn, and he's a great guy. He's kind of a quiet guy, but when he gets on the mound, it is intense what he brings.
Is he going to touch 100 tonight?
I don't know about that. He could, but he does throw a really hard fastball, and he's very accurate with his pitches too. Still fairly new to AA. He's only made a handful of starts, but I'm excited to see what he brings in this postseason game.
Absolutely, man. Love having you on the show, hanging out. So what are you doing for the rest of the day? I know you got to coordinate things, and then also Franco Tostado's going to be here,
yeah,
right?
That's right. Tostado's going to be here. He's going to join the fans for an autograph session at the Brewski's 804 Corner Cantina. That's located right by the Flying Squirrels team store, if you don't know where that is. Tostado will be there from 5:30 to about 6:05, signing autographs and everything.
What time do the gates open?
The gates will open up at 5 o'clock today.
Great.
And one cool thing, I brought one of these, Adam. It's our rally towel that's given out. These are brought to us by Richmond Area Honda Dealers. It's a white towel with a Flying Squirrels jersey on the front. So if you get here early, please do, because you're going to get your chance to get a rally towel. It's going to be fun to see these circle around the stadium, get everybody hyped up.
Feel like a Pittsburgh game or something, right? Steelers, the terrible towels.
Yeah. But it's going to be so much fun, and I'm so excited to see what this community brings tonight. It's going to be loud. It's going to be fun.
Do you want to give a prediction?
I don't. I don't. I'm not a big predictions guy.
I knew it. I know.
I'm not a big predictions guy, but one thing I know for certain, this place is going to be rocking.
That's going to be awesome, man. It's going to be a ton of fun. Everybody, get your tickets still right now at squirrelsbaseball.com/tickets. I'm Adam Epstein. That's Blaine McCormick broadcasting live from the Diamond on the Fan. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Got any plans for tonight? Come out to the Diamond for the Flying Squirrels playoff matchup against the Seawolves of Erie, Pennsylvania. Tickets still available online at squirrelsbaseball.com/tickets. You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan. Phone lines are open, 833-804-0910, 833-804-0910, or you can always tweet me at AWAD Radio, AWADDRADIO. And joining me right now on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline is Super Bowl champion and longtime cornerback in the NFL, Kyle Arrington. Kyle, how are you doing today, buddy?
Hey, AWAD, man, I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing great, man. So let me just ask you this, because I don't know if I've ever asked you this before. What team did you support when you were growing up?
I was at that time, skin fan, through and through. Couldn't tell me anything different. Couldn't tell me nothing about that team, about my team back then.
I love it, man.
My household growing up, couldn't be anything but a skin fan.
Hey, that's what I like to hear. And so the Commanders have a big one this weekend facing off against the Philadelphia Eagles. And I know you're doing some great work now with Fox in D.C. with our guy Guy Lambert. And so the reason I say that is because you get to watch the games now, right? Instead, so many years, you're playing on Sundays. What's it like now to sit back and watch and really kind of dissect the game and figure out which defense is messing up more and stuff like that?
Let me know. I can never get into coaching. the amount of film that they, you know, just watching one game, they have to watch, you know, hours upon hours of film week in and week out on each opponent. Oh, my goodness, you know. When I was playing, you know, some of those coaches, they would have cots and beds, you know, just made up in their offices, wanting to see their wives and kids for weeks at a time. I was like, oh, my goodness. Not my cup of tea.
Kyle Arrington, Super Bowl champion with the New England Patriots, also played stops in Tampa Bay, New England, and Baltimore as well. But I want to focus in on this Commanders defense. From what you've seen through two games, How can this defense improve? Is it schemes? Is it the players? Is it good putting them in the right position? Or is it, hey, maybe the Jags and the Detroit Lions just have incredible offenses and nobody's giving them credit?
You know, it's interesting that you say all of those things. One thing a lot of people even in discussing, so I know I am, is that, you know, the schedule makers, I felt like really did the Commanders a favor coming into the season, or especially with the first two games, opportunity where you have two teams who won, what, three games last year, right? So a total of six games pretty much combined between the both clubs. And so I really thought that was an opportunity for the Commanders to come out, you know, fast start, build some confidence heading into, the divisional game starting this upcoming week. And it's still early as far as the data is concerned when it comes to the Jags and Detroit. You probably wouldn't even see another, you know, few weeks go by before you really start to say, hey, you know, those teams might really be, playoff contenders, because you usually don't associate explosive offense with, especially, you know, like Detroit and Jacksonville. But I mean, the Commanders, you know, I don't know, that's, you know, speak more, you know, less about the Commanders and their, you know, their defense. You don't really like to see the Jags and then subsequently the following week, you know, Detroit move the ball with so much ease at times up and down the field versus the team. So, but to your point in your question, as far as what the issue is, it could be a culmination. You know, maybe Detroit and Jacksonville, you might be someone to reckon with. But you also saw miscommunication at times out there when it came to the defense of the Commanders. Looks like some guys might have been out of place. If I'm taking the test, that's one of the ones where I'm circling all of the above. AY.
Joined by Kyle Arrington on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. Kyle, you played nearly 10 years in the NFL. You dealt with all the ups and all the downs of being an NFL player. What advice would you give Jamin Davis, the linebacker for the Commanders here, who I know he feels like, he posted on Instagram, he's being criticized by the coaching staff and the fan base for everything he does. So what kind of advice would you give a guy like that who's in his second year and it just feels like he's got to produce right now? How, what advice would you give him to kind of take a step back and realize, hey, there's certain things that you got to do right rather than just the coaches putting you in the right positions?
I would say whatever it is that you do to hit the reset button. Because, you know, people, you know, see us as these gladiators, and rightfully so, you know, but we're, you know, human too. So that means emotionally, psychologically, it's all connected to the what we do in the physical sense and physical form. And so whatever you got to do to really hit that reset button to get everything just, block out the noise, cancel the noise, and realign everything. Just go out there and do what you do best. You know, and that's one of the things. Like, hey, look, I've been berated by the best of them. You know, I've had my fair share of days at the office, coaches, they'll let you know, call you out, and the meeting rooms, never publicly like Jack Del Rio did. So that was a surprise there. You know, I'm not a fan of that, but hey, I think he handled it well with the media himself. Has tough skin, and so at the end of the day, like I said, we're football players. And we wouldn't be able to reach the highest level that he's playing on right now if we weren't our hardest critics to begin with anyway. I know for damn sure I was, you know, so somebody couldn't tell me anything. I didn't already tell myself, you know, and probably in a worse fashion.
Joined by Super Bowl champion Kyle Arrington, also NFL interceptions leader in 2011. And the reason I mention that is because I don't understand what our corners are doing, playing 10 yards off in coverage. Let's just talk about the schemes for a minute. And I want to ask you, like, what have you seen from the Commanders that you don't like from your experience? Because, like, I don't understand why the corners are playing 10 yards off the wide receiver in the red zone. It makes no sense to me. So talk about what you've seen from the schemes that you don't like.
I've seen a lot of zone. I've seen them try to throw some man in there as well. I haven't seen, I don't know, maybe it's been, you tell me you've seen any different. I haven't seen a whole bunch of pressure coming from that, you know, that Jack Del Rio defense just as of yet. I would like to see a little more pressure, you know, and oftentimes a lot of the coaches will change that. Even if that's not your mantra, coaches will do that just to – I mean, if you saw – matter of fact, case in point, conversely, you know, the Redskins – I mean, not Redskins – the Commanders' offense versus Detroit's defense to start the game. You know, the Detroit came in, came in loud in that environment. They came in angry, and they set the tone. You know, that they dialed up a couple stunts, pressures to really knock the offense off balance and really give Wentz and company, a lot of, and that's how they got out to that 22. That was a catalyst to get them out on that 22-0 start to begin with, in the first half. So I would like to say the same thing. You know, whatever you have to do to set the tone, because what they say, everybody has a game plan to get punched in the nose. So whatever the opposing offensive game plan is, you got to set the tone. You got to punch them in the face coming out game in and game out each week.
Kyle, even though the defense struggled last week, you have to play complementary football. I want you to speak on how tough it is to play defense when the offense goes 3-and-out. Like, how important is it to get your rest as a defender? Because I think that was the biggest issue for Washington against the Detroit Lions. Like, you had the defense just get gashed, big play after big play after big play. They give up a touchdown or a field goal. And then Carson Wentz, it's 3-and-out. And then they put their helmets down, they grab a cup of water, and all of a sudden they're back on the field for another long drive by the Detroit Lions. How tough is that?
We just hit the nail on the head, Adam. To your point, definitely. I mean, it's tough. It's tough to go out there. Not only is it tough from players, it's psychologically as well. You know, you're already kind of God damn, here we go again. You know, I feel like you just sat down, and so that doesn't help either. And so when you got to go out there and go back out on the field so soon. And I guess the best way to show it is just the example in the second half. So when you saw the Commanders' offense come out with more of a sense of urgency, got their playmakers involved. You know, everything that Detroit did in the first half, they kind of, were able to subdue them a bit. You know, just by keeping their defense out on the field, and really made it into a more competitive game, almost a shootout. At the end, if you will. So. Everything that they did in that second half, that's how you got to start the game. You can't come out flat. You can't spot a team 22 points. It's going to be an uphill fight.
Yeah, that's exactly what you told me when we talked on the phone the other day. You felt like Washington played well enough in the second half to end up winning the game and turning it around completely. Just the defense couldn't get one more crucial stop, right?
Exactly. And it's also sports in general. It's a game of momentum. I really felt in that second half they had some momentum going. Went slightly overthrew the ball to Logan Thomas, and it was a tip to intercept it.
Yeah.
And although not much was done, I don't think Detroit did off of that possession, but still, it kind of broke the momentum up a bit as well, to my point. So, I really think, if they came out with that same sense of urgency, kind of with their hair on fire more in that second half as they should have did the first, we would have seen a different outcome.
Joined by Super Bowl champion Kyle Arrington on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. Tell me a little bit about the Evolve Foundation's charity golf event that's going to be next Tuesday, September 22nd. Next Tuesday, September 27th, featuring you, Kyle Arrington, hosted by Guy Lambert at Top Golf in Oxon Hill, Maryland. Tell me about this really cool charity event.
I appreciate the opportunity there, Adam. Something we always talked about. Very beginning when I was playing, it was about not only being a pillar on the field, but being a pillar in the community. And, especially being in the community I grew up in, D&B, we try to do everything we can just to pay it forward. And so with that, my wife and I, our foundation, the Evolve Foundation, I've been doing a lot of great things in the community over the past few years. And we have an event coming up September 27th, Tuesday, 6-9 p.m., hosted by yours truly, the man with the voice, Guy Lambert, will be at Top Golf, and we'll be out there having fun. Some other special guests are going to come through, maybe some football buddies, to be announced very soon. To have a good time, good vibes, and with a good cause. So a lot of the proceeds all the proceeds that were raised are going to go towards our initiative. But so one main we have coming up is a new playground renovation and build at Brandywine Elementary. So, just trying to, like I said, give the kids, you know, the best environment to thrive in that in that aspect.
Very cool, Kyle. And I just tweeted out the information for anybody listening right now at AWOD Radio. Kyle, thanks so much, man. I appreciate your time.
Oh, no, thank you for having me always, AWOD. I appreciate you.
Yep, you're listening to AWOD Radio, broadcasting live from the Diamond. We got Parney coming up next.
Tune in to AWOD Radio.
I have a beer in my hand, and all of a sudden, everyone's going nuts because there's a fly ball that's coming screaming towards us.
Every day, 12 to 3.
It bounces off the stadium and lands right into my hand. Wait, I caught the foul ball at the Squirrels game.
On the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein, and that promo that you just heard there happened about, 150 feet away? I'm joined by Parney.
I don't believe that.
You think I'm lying on my promos?
Yes, that's not true. You know why? Because you wouldn't put your beer down, I don't think.
I caught it with one beer in one hand, the ball in the
Did
other.
Did you spill any beer?
Of course, it got all over me.
See, that's a party foul, eh, Watt? That is a party foul, and it certainly would be a Parney foul.
Do we not have cameras at that location there? We should be able to check that.
We would
SportsCenter top 10 play.
We will go back to the feed. SportsCenter top 10 plays have happened here a lot this year.
They have.
Thanks to my boy Shane Matheny. He's a regular on that show now.
He is.
He's had a lot of great plays, but – hey, thanks for being here with us today, AWOD. What a wonderful, special day for the Flying Squirrels and Richmond sports in general. First Squirrels home playoff game in 2,935 days.
Oh,
I did the math.
Oh, my goodness. I was wondering where you were going with that.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a long time since 2014. Gates open at 5 p.m. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Joining me in the Hadid Mercer rug cleaning hot seat is Parney. The CEO of the Flying Squirrels. So tell me about the expectations for attendance tonight.
Well, things are going really well. We are tracking a little, we have less than 1,000 general admission tickets left, hoping to get to a sellout. But if not, I'm sure we're going to be over 9,000. And I remember the last time we were in the playoffs, however many people are here, like the noise is times two because every pitch matters, every at-bat matters, every play in the field matters. And it's just a really special environment. You can already feel it. You can feel it in our front office. People are working like crazy. I was just pointing out to you what the grounds crew is doing out here and how nice the field looks.
So explain that to my audience. So instead of a coaching box, regular white line, they painted it black and red today.
Yeah, instead of just a regular coaching line on first base and third base, we have it in Squirrels colors. Then behind home plate, the boys put in the Squirrels logo in our colors in the grass. And they're really good at doctoring up the batter's box and also the pitcher's mound with logos too. So I can't wait to see what they say. But certainly there's playoff fever in the air. And, you know, I just saw a couple of our players. Will Wilson just walked into the clubhouse. Frankie Tostado is here, everybody. He's not playing. Of course, he's on the IL. But he is back here. We brought him in to say hello to the fans. He's signing autographs in the Brewskis Hot Corner Cantina on the first base side. That's right next to the Squirrel Store from 5:30 to 6. A lot of pregame ceremonies starting at 6:15. World Series lineups, and then we'll get her cranked up here at 6:35. So I hope that we're able to say we have a sellout. I think we're going to get there, but for certainly we're going to have over 9,000 screaming Squirrels fans here cheering on the hometown squad.
It's awesome, man. And I want to give a shout-out to everyone working behind the scenes to pull this off, and you can help me do that. I know you got here, 2:30 this morning? You couldn't sleep.
Well, one of the things I love about this business, and I might even get a little emotional, is today's like my first day on the job, right? Like I woke up at 2:00. Tanya had set the alarm for 4 because I had to be here for some TV interviews at 4:30, and I couldn't go back to sleep. And so I just got up and came in here. And you know the way this place talks to you in the middle of the night, I'm getting kind of weird. But I walked out into the field. I just sat here and listened to it, and just a feeling of peace. And a feeling of something really exciting and special is going to happen today. And, you know, I wish we were in a situation where we could clinch tonight, but we're not. We're in a situation where we have to win to stay alive. I have full confidence in Dennis Pelfrey and the guys that we're going to come home with a W, and that would require us then tomorrow – to have a winner-take-all third game of this series. So playoff baseball is very exciting, and we're looking forward to tonight. I can't wait. 5 o'clock is a really important time. We open up half hour early. There's going to be Thursday afternoon traffic anyway, AWOD. We want people to get in here early, soak up the atmosphere, and get ready to cheer on the Flying Squirrels.
What I'm wondering is, will people travel to this game from all over the state of Virginia? Parney, because you're such a great leader for the Flying Squirrels. Like, I have friends of mine that live in Northern Virginia, and they were asking me if I could get them tickets. And every time that you come on my show, they say, "That guy's electric. I love him."
Well, that's better electric than like insane, which I've been called before too. Yeah, I mean, we have friends from Sandbridge that are coming to the game tonight. So there's going to be people from all over. Hermie Sadler's coming to the game from the big city of Emporia, Virginia. I hope Hermie doesn't get a speeding ticket coming to the game today. But, you know, so there'll be people from that. Coach Rhodes is coming. You're wearing the Doug Brooks jersey today.
Hey, it's a Bones Highland
no
jersey.
No way. It's Dougie Brooks to me, okay? Dougie Brooks, the VCU new baseball coach, Bradley LaCroix, he's going to be here. Just all kinds of people from the Richmond sports scene, Lori Warren, the new president, Richmond Raceway. So it's really going to be the place to be right now in Richmond sports community tonight. 6:35, again, we have some general admission tickets left. SquirrelsBaseball.com, or you can call the office. We also have post-game fireworks tonight. So just something for everybody. And hopefully right now, you got the nicest office in Richmond right now.
I really
now,
do. I mean, I'm like, taking it in. The sun's now coming out. It's hot, and I'm sweating, and I'm loving it so much being here at the Diamond.
You're sweating in your Dougie Brooks jersey. So, yeah, we're down here in the Bistro. For those of you that come to our games, AWOD set up in the Rosie's Bistro down the line right next to the bullpen where tonight's pitchers are going to warm up, and the flags are flying. I mean, this is a beautiful, beautiful scene. And in 5.5 hours, it's going to be on like Donkey Kong.
So I'm here till 3 p.m. broadcasting live. Will I see the guys come out here and take, you know, batting practice and pitches and all that?
Stretches at 2:30. So during your show, the end of your show, you'll see our guys come out and starting to stretch literally right in front of you.
Wow.
Like right over here in the corner. You might even be able to hear Pelf's pregame speech.
I'm going to hey, Cheek, turn my microphone up a little louder for that one. That's Parney. I'm Adam Epsi. Parney, thanks so much for coming on the show. And good luck tonight to the Flying Squirrels. You got to feel confident, though. The Seawolves historically have lost 70% of the games at the Diamond.
Well, we're definitely going to have a home field advantage, so make sure y'all come out. Let's get to a sellout so we can show minor league baseball what Flying Squirrels are all about.
The Richmond Commander coming up next on The Fan.